Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. I'm speaking to you from a secret location. Maybe you can guess where it is. Anyway, it's the Colosseum in Rome, also known as the Flavian Amphitheatre. So taking its name from Colossus, as in an enormous statue in ancient Greek, but also because just near here, approximately this site where these trees are, that's where the Colossus of Nero was built. So the Emperor Nero in the 1st century AD, the one who really began the vicious persecution of Romans, he had this gigantic statue of him constructed to rival the Colossus at Rhodes, which is the biggest statue in the world. Give us the word colossal and all the rest of it. That Colossus of Rhodes, in the Dark Ages, it collapsed due to an earthquake, doesn't stand. I'm not sure when this one fell down, was even taken down. Nero is the archetypal maniacal tyrant. Quid artifex in me pereo, were his last words. What an artist dies in me, and so on. So here you can see, the Emperor Vespasian began this, and his son Titus continued it, and then Domitian did some minor changes to it. They're the Flavian dynasty. So begun in 72 AD, and then he died in 79 AD, Vespasian. He's one who took over after the year of the four emperors. So this is for public entertainment, which would gladiatorial fights. So people be captured as slaves, trained in gladiatorial schools to go and fight, often to the death. But and then when one guy had the other one on the ground, defenseless, looking to the emperor, and it was believed thumbs up, thumbs come down come from this. But apparently thumbs up was the bad one, was a stab him, was thumbs down was like just let him crawl away, but badly wounded. But he might well succumb to his wounds. If it's not the wound itself, because they couldn't staunch the bleeding or whatever, it's actually the infection. So it might have been a coup de grace, more merciful to kill him on the spot. And obviously people torn to death by ravening beasts, and often Christians. And those who are going to be eaten alive were brought in nude. So the animals were not fed for 3 days beforehand. So the idea that they would be famished and that they would fall upon the beasts. But this is thought to accommodate up to 85,000 people. Now, there are estimates that the maximum capacity was rather lower than that. But anyway, with all the cheering and from the crowd, sometimes the wild animals, the lions or whatever, were frightened and would lie down and wouldn't actually attack. Now, the crowd and the emperor were not happy about that, and the beast master was brought out to be stabbed to death himself. So that's the thing about ancient Rome. It was a very sophisticated civilization. At the same time, it was absolutely barbaric, watching people get killed for public entertainment. So it was going on to the 6th century AD that there were entertainments of some sort, but there were also comedians and I think had to do like mime or whatever, because there's no public address system, jugglers, whatever, acrobats to entertain people between the acts. And that was it. So there were paid seats, there were unpaid seats, but because of Panem et Circenses, well, the circus was different, was the chariot races, but there were still gladiatorial fights for free. Bread and circus, but that would include gladiatorial fights. I know the circus is the racetrack for the chariots. I mean, I didn't know this as an adult. I mean, I was there, I was stupidly confusing them. That's somewhere a bit different. Politicians would put these on for free. And so it was after the defeat of the Jewish revolt, about 70 AD, they began to build this. So gradually abandoned, and what was I going to say? So it had limestone on the outside, it's got ordinary brick on the inside. And then it was damaged in the Middle Ages by a very bad earthquake. I've been into it before, so I'm not going into it again. And it's the largest amphitheatre ever built. Now, it's freestanding. Most of them were built on the edge of a hill, so only sort of like semicircles. They could use the fact that there was that hill there, and that's where the seats would be built into. It saved them a lot of the work, so they'd be looking down on the action. Then there's the hypogeum, which is underground. So in the middle of fights, they could release beasts or more gladiators or whatever, and the gladiators, one would have like a net and a trident, or one would have a small sword and shield and blah, blah, blah. They would often fight to the death, but they could be celebrities. Their life was glorious, but sometimes very short. I mean, you might be killed in your first fight. So there it was. Obviously, Spartacus led that revolt of gladiators and slaves in general. And there was that rule in Rome that if one slave murdered the master, then all the slaves in the household would be put to death. Even babies, even elderly people, even those who were not involved at all. So give the slaves a very, very strong incentive to make sure the other ones did not harm the master. If they got wind of any plot, they were going to tip them off and There were some very controversial cases, because it's true that some slaves were treated absolutely abominably, working in mines or in farms or whatever. But occasionally there were high status, like doctors or accountants, and it probably won't surprise people to learn this, people who were often slaves were teachers, often coming from ancient Greece. But you might say, well, nothing's changed there then. But there were some slaves who could have important positions in the administration. I can't remember whether it was this, the name of the family, but there was a prominent family, and one of the slaves murdered the master, and like about 100 slaves had to be put to death. It was very contentious. No, we can't do that. No, these are decent people. But nevertheless, it was done and upheld the principle. So that's it. Can't go all the way around. The last 20 years has been extensively renovated. And then in the Renaissance era, they decided that this was actually a Christian site, because obviously Christians had been martyred there. People were encouraged to collect the sand upon which the blood of martyrs had been spilt. And you can see various plaques to various popes, yeah? How Gregory the 16th had had some of it rebuilt, and other popes. And so you see the more modern reconstruction. Is that good? Is that bad? Should they left it how it was? It was a quarry. People started like taking the stone to build other things. And by the mid-19th century, this part of Rome had just been abandoned, and this was open fields. In the Dark Ages, there were, you know, wild animals were just grazing in the Forum, so that's how the place had really gone to seed.
My friend,
I may wonder if that's what they say, gone to the dogs and things like that. So plenty of tourists come here, and in the summer you get guys dressed up as ancient Roman legionaries and posing for photos with the tourists. Right, what else would I say? So well worth going in. I've been in before, so I don't need to go in again. So you see how imposing it is, how enormous it is, especially in relation to the population and how simple their construction methods were at the time. Remember, all had to be human muscle power. There's no machinery, there's no steam power, there's no electricity to lift all those stones. And you couldn't build things much taller than that, otherwise it would collapse. What else? Had seating according to how much you're going to pay, some free seating, particularly when they put on games, when elections were coming up for the plebes to vote. People wanted to be elected tribunes of the plebs, because they're different social classes. Only the senatorial class could be a tribune, and that's why there's that Labour newspaper Tribune, as in like someone to support and defend the working class. Because Rome at its height in ancient times had a population of 1 million, which is extraordinary. You think of all the grain they had to bring in from Egypt, bearing in mind how primitive transportation was by ship, by horse-drawn cart, and the sanitation that was involved. So they were also able to flood it, to fight sea battles, and these were real battles, not mock battles. People actually got killed. But, you know, life was cheap, life was obviously very short, and they were used to seeing bloodshed, even of animals, because outside their temples they were sacrificing doves, pigs, oxen, other animals, and the blood was flowing, and that was supposing pleasing to them. Okay, so it was like sympathetic magic. It was like a marketplace, really. We are paying something to this god, we're losing out, and in return she is going to favor us with good fortune that they'll bestow on us. And they didn't have dualism. It wasn't this Manichaean battle between good and evil. It really was just transactional. Okay, and then close by is the Arch of Titus, celebrating their victory after the Jewish revolt. So the Emperor Titus had this built. And then that's a model for arches all over. There are other arches in the Forum and so forth. The Forum is the marketplace just east of here, where also there were temples, political speeches. There were all the praus, the rostrum, from enemy captured ships, and that's why they would make speeches from that. That's why a rostrum is like a podium from which one speaks. I'll show you what I'm talking about now. So how about this? There's the Arc de Triomphe at Paris, there's India Gate, there's the Gateway of India, there's Arc de Triomphe in Bucharest, there's a similar arch in Dublin by St. Stephen's Green. Can't think of the other ones. There's obviously the Wellington Arch, there is Marble Arch, there's Triumfalna Archa, there's in Moscow, likewise in Almaty and many, many other places. And there's even one in Vientiane, Laos. Okay, that's enough for me. Thanks for watching my video. Another thing, there's Via Crucis, the Way of the Cross, and the Pope leads a procession at night, lit by torches, past here at Easter. Okay, goodbye, everybody.